Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair for coming. This is our first session of the term, inshallah. We are going through Kitab al-Ihya by Imam Ghazali. And I believe all the previous sessions are all on YouTube. And yeah, Jazakumullah khair.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala dhikrahu tama'ninatan lil qulub. وجلاء لعارين الدروب ومطرة لوسواس الخناس المكذوب والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الداعي إلى كل فعل محبوب وأمر مطلوب وعلى آله وأصحابه المقتفين سبيله على خير أسلوب أما بعد فيقول رب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المنزل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سابقوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها كعرض السماء والأرض وعدت للذين آمنوا بالله ورسله ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so vie with one another in seeking to attain your Lord's forgiveness, and the garden whose width is as the width of the heavens and the earth, one which has been prepared for those who believe in Allah, His messengers, and Allah's bounty, and that is Allah's bounty which He bestows upon whomsoever He pleases. Allah is the Lord of abounding bounty. وقال تعالى ولكل وجهة هو موليها فاستبقوا الخيرات. Everyone has their direction towards which he turns in prayer. So try to excel one another in good works. وقال تعالى ففروا إلى الله إني لكم منه نذير مبين. Flee therefore to Allah, surely I am a clear warner to you from Him. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to lecture number 36 in this series, which we are studying Imam Ghazali's Ikhlas, Imam Ghazali's Ihya, and the topic of Ikhlas and related issues, topics that are related to Ikhlas. I trust that you've had a good break, good Ramadan, and inshallah, happy Eid with your families. In our final session last term, we were reading from Kitab al-Niyyati wal-Ikhlas, and we delved into the topic of Hisab, which is the reckoning on the Day of Judgment. And in that we listed a series of thinking points to keep our minds occupied and to steer our concentration in our day-to-day lives, to remember that there is reckoning, there is accountability in the life beyond this life. And towards that goal of for contemplation and reflection on accountability, we listed 11 points to keep in mind. The first three were related to our sense of time. In that, we said that our sense of time differs from the creator of time. And there is a need to recognize that difference. And in seven of them, we listed the questions that have been mentioned specifically in the Qur'an and Hadith, questions that will be asked in our reckoning on the Day of Judgment. And finally, the last one, which was the 11th one, was about the trap of Shaitan. So I'll quickly go over them so that you, just to refresh your memories. I know you've been revising and memorizing them all thoroughly, but just for the purposes of refreshing, I'll go through them. So the first one was that there is no limitation on time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has time beyond the time of this world, and He can expand it and increase it as much as He wishes. And this is explained in the Qur'an where there are indications to it, where, as in Surah Al-Ma'arij, he says, تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ, that the angels, the spirit, ascend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during a day that extends, of which is a day which is of 1,000 years of what we, of a normal day, a day of 50,000 years, sorry. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not run out of time to question and to take account for each of our deeds and our moments spent in this world. The second point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of taking account all at once. And the reason for that is that He is not limited in His attention as we are. As human beings, we are limited. We can only focus on one reality at a given time. We can only deal with one person at a time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sustaining all of humanity and all His creation. From the largest galaxies and angels that are larger than these galaxies, angels that extend from the heavens to the earth, there's angels that are as large as that and larger. He's sustaining those. And He's sustaining also the minute, microscopic creatures that are smaller than us, that are thousands of times smaller than us. Every creature is being sustained all at once. He doesn't say to us, okay, you take a breath and now line up and you take another breath. We are all breathing together. We are all having the gift of time. We are all having life and sustenance from Allah all at once. And that is through to Allah's power and His ability to sustain and to suffice. So he says in Surah Al-Ghafir, he says, الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ لَا ذُلْمَ الْيَوْمِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. That Allah is swift in account, so He can do it all in a jiffy. The third thinking point was to remember that our time for reckoning is not far away, because we tend to, this is a problem with the human being, is although we know that we have a finite time, we live in the world and act and behave as if we have endless time, as if we have infinite time. And that we seldom think about the fact that our time was set specifically when in the fifth month of pregnancy, when we were in our mother's womb, the angel came and that was set. It was, you were given the amount of breath you will take. So every breath you take is that second that passed will never return. It's a countdown to your end of time in this world. So he makes it, Allah corrects that view that of seeing ourselves as being here in eternity in the Quran by saying, اقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. That the time for their reckoning, for their account, has approached people, it is near. It's close, while they are heedless and turning away. And of course, in the tafsir, I reminded you of Imam Qurtubi's sentence, وَكُلُّ أَتٍ قَرِيبٍ, that everything that is approaching is definitely close. And وَالْمَوْتُ لَا مَحَالَةَ آتٍ, and death is definitely something that is approaching. وَمَوْتُ كُلِّ إِنسَانٍ قِيَامُ مُسَاعَتِهِ, that upon the death, each individual Qiyamah begins. That is where everything starts for your Qiyamah. That is your death. Your death is where your Qiyamah begins. Because whatever happens at death, if it's good, if you find good at the point of death, then whatever comes after it is better. And if you find tragedy at the point of death, then whatever comes after it is worse. So those were the three that were related to time. And the seven that were related to questions, specific questions. The first question was that مِمَّا يُسْأَلْ عَنْهُ الصَّلَاةِ أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسِبُ عَلَيْهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The first thing that you will be questioned about is your prayer. Is what did he do? Is إِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ صَاهِرُ عَمَلِهِ. That if we fail on our salah, then everything fails. He said, so that was the first question. The second question was مَا يُسْأَلْ عَنِ الْأُهُودِ وَالْمَوَاثِيقِ, which is your oaths that you have taken, your word, a Muslim's word. You'll be asked about we value our promises. And إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا, as he says in Surah Al-Isra, and of course the big oath that we have taken is that أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى, that am I not your Lord? And Allah, in front of Allah, we gave that oath that yes, indeed you are our Lord. Allah is our creator. You are our sustainer. So therefore, we are to obey Him. Number three was that ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, that you'll be asked about the pleasures you've enjoyed in this world. And now, we living in at a time when we can have everything we want. But at the time of the Sahaba, they had limited luxuries. And a Sahaba, when this verse was revealed, لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, that you'll be questioned about the bounties, the favors, the blessings of that you experience, that you enjoy in this world. The Sahabi said, Zubayr radiallahu anhu, said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, that, Ya Rasulullah, فَأَيُّ النَّعِيمٍ نُسْأَلْ, what bounty, what luxury are we going to be asked about? إِنَّمَا هُمَ الْأَسْوَدَانِ, that these are only the two black things. What are the two black things? The dates and the water, that's all we have. And the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to that was that, أَمَا إِنَّهُ سَيَكُونَ, that even upon that you will be questioned. So it is possible, سَيَكُونَ. So, and in another riwayat, Tirmidhi, he says, أَلَمْ نُصَحِّ لَكَ جِسْمَكَ, did we not give you healthy body? Did we not, وَلَمْ نُرْوِيكَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ الْبَارِدِ, did we give you a healthy body? And did we not give you water to drink, cold water? Did you not taste cold water? And have that luxury of enjoying the taste of cold water descending into your throat. That's a luxury. So, and of course, the actual question is, هَلْ شَكَرَكَ, هَلْ شَكَرَهَا, was he grateful for what he was given? Are we grateful for the bounties that we receive in this world? هَلْ أَدَّى حَقَّهَا, did he fulfill the right of it? That you drink that water, what did you say? Did you say Alhamdulillah? Did you thank Allah? هَلْ نَسَبَهَا إِلَى اللَّهِ, did you connect it to Allah, to the mun'im, from where it came? Did you connect it to Allah? هَلْ إِسْتَعْمَلَهَا فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ, did he use it in the obedience of Allah? So those are questions that are linked to that. Number four would be the questions about dhulm, the questions about oppression, about blood spilling, about murder, about dhulm generally. And he said, أَوَّلُ مَا يُقْضَى بَيْنَ النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الدِّمَاءِ. And of course, the ayah, the surah in Surah An-Nisa, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ, that the one who kills a Muslim willfully, for him, the recompense will be the hellfire, Jahannam. That's the first thing. So there are five things that Allah says about murder. Yes, he says, first, jaza'uhum at Jahannam. So we see people killing Muslims and think, you know, or Muslims killing Muslims. If you willfully kill a Muslim, then Allah is making it clear here. He said five things is happening. The consequences are five catastrophic consequences. The first is Jahannam. What can be bigger than that? Then he said khali, and then number two, khalidan fiha, forever and ever in it. And then fiha, wa ghadiba Allahu alayhi, and Allah's anger will descend upon him. That's number three. وَلَعَنَهُ, and then he will curse him, number four. And then وَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا, and then he has prepared for him a terrible torment, punishment. So, we should not feel that people are getting away with what they do. Number five, questions about the use of the ears, the eyes, and about our minds. How do we use these things? يُسْأَلْ عَنِ الْجَوَارِحِ لَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لِهِ, that you will, إِنَّ السَّمَعَ وَالْبَصَرُ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا, that your sight, your hearing, your sight, indeed the hearing, the sight, and the heart, all about all of these you'll be questioned. Number six was about those who are in your care, those over whom you have responsibility. So كلكم راعٍ وكلكم مسؤولٌ عن رعيته, that you are all shepherds and you are all responsible for your shepherds. So the new committee, take note. This is you're now a shepherd and you have to take care of your flock. Yeah. So yes. So it's you'll be asking. إن الله سائل كل راعٍ عن أما استرعى حفظ أم ضيع. He will ask each one, did you take control? Did you protect or did you waste them? حَتَّى يُسْأَلَ الرَّجُلُ عَنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ, so the person will be asked about his family. Number seven was, the seventh thinking point was about the things we like to take pride in, like a long life, knowledge and wealth, that you'll be asked. لَا تَزُولَ قَدْمَا عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسْأَلَ عَنْ عُمْرِهِ فِيمَا أَفْنَى, what did you spend your life? وَعَنْ عَمَلِهِ فِيمَا فَعَلْ وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ, and what did he do in his ilm, وَمِنْ عِلْمِهِ فِيمَا عَمَلْ, بما فعل. Your knowledge, the things that you knew, what did you do? And then your wealth, where did you get it? And فيما أنفق, and where did you spend it? وعن جسمه فيما أبلى, and your body, where did you use it? And then the 11th point, which was the additional one, which was to avoid falling into the trap of shaitan, from the whispering of shaitan. Because shaitan, when you read all of these and you hear all these things about reckoning and about, then shaitan comes along and says, well, all of this will be questioned, you know, and then he puts wiswas, he puts a doubt in your mind. And if, well, first of all, it may not happen. And if it happens, then perhaps it is not fair. So this is something he'll come and tell you. And what you want to know, what you need to have in your mind, in your heart, very clearly, that this is, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not commit oppression, does not oppress even one atom's weight. Allah's justice is perfect. And that's the place where perfect justice will be enacted. That is where it will be manifested. In this world, our justice is whatever we try to do, it has shortcomings. But there, every atom's weight of everything will be brought. So there's no injustice as far as Allah is concerned. And this has to be very clear in our minds. And Allah is saying in Hadith Qudsi, you know, Ya Ibadi, Inni harramtu dhulma ala nafsi wa ja'altuhu baynakum muharraman. That I've made dhulm haram on myself, and I've made it haram between you as well. Right, now, today what I want to do is to return to the chapter, the subsequent chapter, which is the chapter that follows the one that we just completed. And in that, this is a chapter I've read the first two paragraphs several times in the past few lectures. Over the course of the lectures, I've visited this chapter many times, but only the first two or three paragraphs, because of the importance of it. But there are other themes in this, Imam Ghazali lists in this chapter, which are important, which are useful for dealing with ranking. What I meant by the ranking of intentions. Because we, in the last few lessons, we were talking about multiplicity of intentions, how you can multiply your intention and create several intentions for things. But we also need to have a sense of the weighting, the ranking of the of intentions, which ones is better, which intention is better, and which one is favorable, and how to position our hearts and our inclinations towards seeking the better intention. Because these are things that vary on the basis of conditions, situations, and the states of the individual. Now, because shaitan is always up to, you know, stop you from doing what you... If you intend to do something good, shaitan will try to stop you from doing it. But if you persist, what he does then is that he doesn't give up. He doesn't say, okay, well, oh, I lost, let him go. No, he comes. He comes and tries to reduce your reward in it as much as he can. So if you are familiar with the quality and the weight of the ranking of your intentions, then you'll be able... And this is a battle. This is an ongoing... battle that you have to fight with the nafs, with your lower self, and with shaitan. Now, I'm going to quickly read the first portion of this, read it again, because this is it's important to refresh our minds with this. You would have heard this before. إعلم, Imam Ghazali writes, that أن الجاهل يسمع ما ذكرناه من الوصية بتحسين النية وتكثيرها مع قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات فيقول في نفسه عند تدريسه أو تجارته أو أكله. The person hears this, that what we are saying about the need for intention, and then he says at the beginning of doing something, of teaching or of doing his business, that نويت أن أدرس لله, that I make intention to teach for the sake of Allah. And he runs this script on his tongue. Or I may, or eat for the sake of Allah, or trade for the sake of Allah. وَيَظُنُّ ذَٰلِكَ نِيَّةً, and he thinks that that is niya, and وَهَيْهَاتَ هَيْهَاتَ فَذَٰلِكَ حَدِيثُ نَفْسٍ, that that is not, certainly it's not niya, just by saying it, by running the script is not, فَذَٰلِكَ حَدِيثُ نَفْسٍ, that that's just speaking to yourself, وَحَدِيثُ لِسَانٍ, it's running a script or thought in the mind, or انتقال من خاطر إلى خاطر, it is a the transition from thought to thought. That's what. وَالنِّيَّةُ بِمَعْزَلٍ عَنْ جَمِيعِ ذَلِكَ. That niyyah is something completely different from that. وَإِنَّمَا النِّيَّةُ انْبِعَاثُ النَّفْسِ وَتَوَجُّهُهَا وَمَيْلُهَا إِلَى مَا ظَهَرَ لَهَا أَنَّ فِيهِ غَرَضُهَا. غَرَضُهَا. That niyyah is the motivation that focuses the heart towards something in which it perceives its interests and its benefit in it. إِمَّا عَاجِلًا أَوْ آجِلًا. Either an immediate benefit or an eventual benefit. وَالْمَيْلُ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ. And if the inclination is not there, لَا يُمْكِنْ إِخْتِرَاعُهُ وَإِكْتِسَابُهُ بِمُجَرَّدِ الْإِرَادَةِ. And if that inclination towards doing something, internal inclination towards doing something, for the sake of Allah is not there, then you cannot create it just by running a script. So he's saying you can't, it'd be mujarrad irad. You cannot create it by will. Say, I will do this for the sake of Allah. You cannot do that. That's not how it works. But ذَلِكَ قَوْلُ الشَّبْعَانِ. He said, think about the fact is that is like a person who is satiated, who's eaten, he's full, you know, and he says to himself that نَوَيْتُ أَنْ أَشْتَهِ الطَّعَامَ وَأَمِيلَ إِلَيْهَا. That I now intend to develop an appetite. I now intend to have an appetite for the food. You cannot do that, right? Or an inclination toward the food. In fact, when you are full, you're disinclined and from it, and you have some sort of repulsion in yourself when you're full, depending on how much you have eaten, which must have happened a lot in Ramadan, doesn't it? Yeah. As I say, you know, we turned Ramadan into a month of feasts, not month of fast. Every day we are feasting. The feast is supposed to come at the end of the month, but we've turned it into an every day we have feasts. Yes, we are in Ramadan. I said we used to, before Ramadan, we used to eat 3 times a day. In Ramadan, we're eating 4 times a night with double the calories. Yeah. Anyway, so this is the example he's giving. It's to be inclined to it. He said, and then he gives another example. He says, أو الفارغ أو قول الفارغ, a person who is disengaged, he says, نويت أن أعشق فلانا. You know, I made intention to love someone, to love وأحبه, and to وعظمه بقلبي, and I will aggrandize this person in my heart. If you are completely disengaged from something, then that cannot happen. فذلك محال. That's impossible. So he's saying, بل لا طريق لاكتساب صرف القلب إلى شيء وميله إليه وتوجهه نحوه إِلَّا بِاكْتِسَابِ أَسْبَابِهِ. That, so, you cannot get inclined and being drawn to your intention, to build intention towards something, towards focusing and having an inclination towards something, except if you adopt the means through which, the causes through which this develops. And this develops in very specific ways. وَذَلِكَ مِمَّا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَقَدْ لَا يَقْدِرُ. And sometimes it may happen and sometimes it may not. وَإِنَّمَا تَنْبَعِثُ النَّفْسِ إِلَى الْفِعْلِ إِجَابَةً لِلْغَرَضِ الْبَاعِثِ الْمُوَافِقِ لِلنَّفْسِ الْمُلَائِمِ. That this motivation in the self, it is activated, the inclination develops in the perception of a benefit that you can see in that goal that you want to do. You have to have you have to recognize something that is favorable and beneficial for you in that thing. وَمَا لَمْ يَعْتَقِدْ الْإِنسَانِ أَنَّ غَرَضُ مَنُوتَةٌ بِالْفِعْلِ مِنَ الْأَفْعَالِ. If you do not see that, if deep down in your heart you do not believe and you do not have that configuration that this action will benefit me in a certain way, then you cannot. You will not be able to make intention for it. فَلَا يَتَوَجَّهُ نَحْوَ قَصْدِهِ. وَذَلِكَ مِمَّا يُقْدَرُ عَلَى اعْتِقَادِهِ فِي كُلِّ حِينٍ. وَإِذَا عُتُقِدَ فَإِنَّمَا يَتَوَجَّهُ الْقَلْبُ إِذَا كَانَ فَارِغًا غَيْرَ مَصْرُوفٍ عَنْهُ بِغَرَضٍ شَاغِلٍ أَقْوَى مِنْهُ. The heart, and sometimes you might have some of the inclinations you might understand, but the heart is occupied with diversions and other diverters, things that are drawing you in another direction. So you also have to have space for that inclination to develop, to be drawn towards doing something, for the heart to see it. So not only the knowledge of what is beneficial, but also a clearance from diversions and distractions from it. That you also need that. وَذَلِكَ لَا يُمْكِنْ فِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ. And it's not possible to have it all the way. وَالدَّوَاعِي وَالصَّوَارِفِ. The distractions and diversions. لَهَا أَسْبَابٌ كَثِيرًا. There are lots of reasons. There are lots of causes of diversions and distractions. وَيَخْتَلِفُ ذَلِكَ بِالْأَشْخَاصِ وَالْأَحْوَالِ وَبِالْأَعْمَالِ. That this differs. These conditions differ on the basis of the person and the kind of actions they're doing and their states. And then he gives examples, an example of seeking marriage to explain these differences in weights and ranking. And he says, فَإِذَا غَلَبَتْ شَهْوَةُ النِّكَاحِ مَثَلًا وَلَمْ يَعْتَقِدْ غَرَضًا صَحِيحًا فِي الْوَلَدِ دِينًا وَلَا دُنْيًا. That if a person has this inclination to get married, and it's based on desire, and he doesn't have any correct intention about having children, either for dini reason, for a religious reason, or for a worldly reason, لا يمكنه أن يواقع على نية الولد. That he will not be able to have relations in marriage with the intention of having children. بل لا يمكن إلا على نية قضاء شهوة. The only reason he will get married is for fulfilling his desire. إذا النية هي إجابة البعث. It is the intention comes from the بعث, the motivation that he has. ولا بعث. And if a person's only motivation is fulfilling their desire, فكيف ينوي الولد. So how is he supposed, if the desire is just for, if it's only for fulfilling desires, then there will be no such, it will be difficult to think about the fact that, or to have a niyyah, to have an intention for children. So, and now he says, وَإِذَا لَمْ يَغْلِبَ عَلَى قَلْبِهِ أَنَّ إِقَامَةَ السُنَّةِ. Now, here he's telling you about the fact that intention, for using this example, now he's going into the example and he's saying that, look, إِذَا لَمْ يَغْلِبَ عَلَى قَلْبِهِ أَنَّ إِقَامَةَ سُنَّةِ النِّكَاحِ. That if it is not dominant, if it is not prevalent in the heart, that the establishing, this following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of marriage, because what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, أَنِّكَاحُ مِن سُنَّتِي. That this is my sunnah. So if we do not have a stronger urge for following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that's prevalent in our heart, then that will not overpower the one for that is linked only to desire. So he says, اتباعاً لرسولillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, and then he goes on to say, it is not, وَيُعَدَّمْ فَضْلَهَا. That he has to have in his heart in a great value for the following the sunnah. If that person does, if his heart is not configured to following the sunnah, then that's the first thing that will fail. وَلَا يُمْكِنُ أَن يَنْوِيَ النِّكَاحِ اتِّبَاعَ السُنَّةِ إِلَّا يَقُولُ. But, and then if he only knows this and says it on his tongue, you know, إِلَّا يَقُولُ ذَلِكَ بِلِسَانِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَهُوَ حَدِيثٌ مَحْفٌ لَيْسَ نِيَّةٍ. If a person just say these things, that, oh, you know, I'm getting married for sunnah, but in the heart is not configured for that yearning to fulfill sunnah, then the niyyah will not be sunnah, even if he says it with his tongue. So he said, نعم, طريق اكتساب هذه النية مثلا يقوي أولا إيمانه بالشرط. So how do you go about, he says, now how does one go about building this capacity to foster the kind of intention that, and we're talking here about ranking, right? So yes, there's nothing wrong in getting married, fulfill your desire to say, look, I'm going to protect myself from sin and what's not, but that's a basic level intention. But to build intentions above that, to follow the sunnah, to have children for the sake of مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمْ الْأُمَمْ, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa will take pride in the size of his ummah. So he said, the first thing that you should do, he says, is that you have to strengthen your iman in the value of shara', the value of the guidance. Where is this guidance from? Who is the one that's sending it? It comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from whom? from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the shari'. Man is shari'? Allah. شَرَعَ لَكُم مِّنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا. That it is He who has prescribed for you this deen, this religion has come, that has come to Noah. Right? And then he said, وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ. This is the one that we have, this is the say, Allah who sent guidance to Noah, He is the one who's sending it to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى. So what we have enjoined upon Abraham, Moses and Jesus. So this is nothing new. Allah is the one. So you taqwiyatu imanina bishar'a, which is emphasizing our iman, our belief in the value of this guidance that is from Allah. That's the first thing. The second thing is to أن يقوي إيمانه بعظم ثواب من يسعى في تكثير أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. That he strengthens his iman with the greatness of the reward for the one who strives to increase the ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. That is another point that has to be in the mind in this example that he's given. And why is that so? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it very clearly. He said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is in the hadith, he says, رواه أحمد وابن حبان وصححه, the صحيح hadith, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمر بالباءة. He used to order us, he used to command us to marry. Yes, and he used to يأمر بالباءة وينهى عن التبتل نهياً شديداً. And he used to sternly forbid celibacy. Yeah, and I can see lots of people are agreeing with this one strongly. Yeah, so he used to عن التبتل نهياً شديداً يقول. And he also used to say تزوج الودود 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 الولود. Marry women who are beloved, who due to their good characteristic, and who are prolific in bearing children. فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. For verily, I shall outnumber the prophets by you on the day of judgment. With you. So now, if a person has that hadith in mind, that look, this is one of the wish of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I'm going to increase his ummah, then that is a niyyah, that's an intention that is loftier, that is higher than an intention for fulfilling your desires or for fulfilling. So there's sunnah, there's fulfilling this aspect of it. Then number three is that he has to do is that يدفع عن نفسه جميع المنفرات عن الولد. That he has to repel from his mind, he has to clear his mind of all the thoughts, all the contradictory thoughts that come in the mind in regard to children, all the things that will create thoughts of min athiqli almu'na wa tul alta'ab wa ghayrihi, thinking about the hardship of taking care of children, of bringing up children, the cost of children, the difficulties that you will have with children. All of that has to go. He has to override those in his mind. He has to dismiss those. فَإِلَى ذَلِكَ. And if he does that, فَإِذَا فَعْلَ ذَا. So the third thing, you know, is that you have to clear your mind from the things that contradict the that divert, that pushes you away from the intention that you want to form, that you want to create, that is necessary, the higher intention. فَإِذَا فَعْلَ ذَلِكَ. If he does these three things, رُبَّمَا عِنْبَعَثَ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ رَغْبَةً إِلَى تَحْصِيلِ الْوَلَدِ لِلثَّوَابِ. That then he will have the real intention will come for getting children, for having children for the sake of reward, for the sake of the rewards that are attached to it. And when that happens, then the true niyyah, the intention is formed, is fostered. فَتَحَرَّكَتْ تِلْكَ الرَّغْبَةُ. Then that motivation motivates him to act in a certain way. And that act is that he will go seeking, or she will go seeking to get married. You'll seek a spouse. You'll seek, and then the fact that you will accept the qabool, the ijab and qabool nawiyan, all of that will fall into the category of this sawab, of this higher level of understanding, this higher level of niyyah. So the heart goes with it. If you do not do this, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ كَذَلِكَ فَمَا يُقَدِّرُ في نفسه ويردده في قلبه من قصد الولد وسواس وهذيان. Then if he doesn't have this configuration in the heart, then whatever you say on the tongue about getting children and about the, about marriage and all of that is they're just scripts on the tongue. They're like wiswas. وكذلك غرض الشرعي ورد وكذلك كل غرض وكل غرض شرعي ورد الشرع بفضله وله صوارف من جهة النفس والهوى. And so it is for all good things that the shara, the guidance is calling you towards. It has, there are munafara, there are things that are there to divert you from it. There are impulses that will come that you have to fight. كَمَنْ دَخَلَ فِي And you have to make sure that the one that is most important is prevalent in the heart. That's the point he's making here. That the reasoning in the heart has to be the one of prevalence is the best one, is the one that gives the most reward. And he gives this example. He says, من دخل في صوم النفل ثم أمره أبواه أو أحدهما أو أخذ إخوانه بالإفطار. Okay, I'll translate without reading. Yeah, if somebody is fasting, a nafil fast, and then his parents said to him, no, you must know. His mother cooks food and said, no, I want you to eat. Now you can do that. The response, if in the person's heart, obedience to the parents is uppermost than in the heart, then they will do that, they will break the fast and get reward for it. Because my obedience to my parents, and I will fast again another time, then that will be very beneficial for that person. But if that is not so, the nafs will come in and says, another opportunity to eat mother's tasty food. So then the shahwa gets it. Then the desire takes, the intention then it becomes, then that is not correct. That is, so he's giving you the know-how of what should be more prevalent in the heart. And this requires preparation, this requires contemplation, this requires thinking, this requires knowledge, this requires the familiarity with fadha'il al-a'mal. This is why the knowledge is so important. Now, and then he goes on to give several examples which you've heard about, you've mentioned before, but I'll say them again. وَلِهَذَا امْتَنَعَ جَمَاعَةٌ مِّنَ السَّلَفِ مِنْ جُمْلَةٍ مِّنَ الطَّاعَةِ. And we find that many of the early scholars have avoided many, doing many permissible things, many obediences, many good deeds. إِذْ لَمْ تَحْضُرْهُمْ نِيَّةٌ. The right intention didn't arrive in their heart, so they abstained. فَكَانُوا يَقُولُونَ لَيْسَ تَحْضُرُنَا فِيهِ نِيَّةٌ. They used to say that, oh, the niyyah has not arrived, I have not managed to get the niyyah. The correct niyyah has not been formed in my heart. Hatta inna ibn Sirin lam yusalli ala janazati al-Hasan al-Basri wa qala laysa tahdhuruni an-niyyah. That when Ibn Sirin did not attend the janazah of Hasan al-Basri, and he said, well, I didn't get the correct intention, so I couldn't come. And the example of the man with the comb, he says to his wife, bring me the comb, and she said, I'll bring the mirror, and then he went quiet. And then when she asked, and then he said, okay, bring it. When she comes, she says, well, what took you so long? Well, to answer, and he said, I had an intention for the comb. I was combing it, but I had an intention, and presumably that's an intention to please Allah, that I'm going to comb my hair and stand and put in front of Allah. But I did not have an intention for the mirror, so I waited for the intention of the mirror to come, that I will say to Allah in front of the mirror, أحسنت خلقي فأحسن خلقي اللهم أحسنت. Oh Allah, you have beautified my outer form, now beautify my inner form. That sort of intention for standing in front of the mirror. A Muslim doesn't stand in front of the mirror and say, oh well, I'm getting fat, you know, I need to lose a few pounds. A Muslim thanks Allah for what he gets, because, and I'm mentioning this specifically because we're living in a time when people are BDD, you know, body dysmorphic disorder is a big thing now. It's spreading like wildfire. Everyone looks and they're ungrateful to Allah. And Allah has proportioned you, Allah has blessed you with bodies that are suitable for you. So you must not become this ungrateful when you stand in front of the mirror. You must say this dua. Allahumma hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. Oh Allah, you have beautified my outer form, so beautify my inner form, my character. This is necessary. So we don't fall into the trap of people who are deceived and corrupted by shaitan. Now, more generally, he says, وَمَاتَ حَمَّادُ بْنِ سُلَيْمَانِ حَمَّادُ بْنِ أَبِي سُلَيْمَانِ وَكَانَ أَحْدُ الْعُلَمَاءِ أَهْلِ كُوفَةٍ فَقِيلَ لَهُ أَلَا تَشْهَدِ الْجَنَازَةَ. This is the same example. وَكَانَ إِذَا سُئِلُوا مِنْ أَعْمَالِ الْبِرِّ قَالُوا إِنْ رَزَقَنَا اللَّهُ النِّيَّةَ. When they were asked to do good deeds, you know, like give charity and send, they said, well, if Allah, they didn't do it out of pressure, out of takalluf, out of showing off or wanting to, because of the awkwardness of the situation, feeling obliged, and no, they didn't allow that takalluf. We don't have an English word for this word, takalluf, to explain it. But it is, when you are in a situation, you're doing things not for the right intention, you're not doing it for Allah, you're doing it because of the situation. The moments you're obliged, you feel obliged to do it, so you're putting yourself into unnecessary hardship because you feel that you're going to do it. Or you're doing it for riyah. That's one of the other reasons why you might do it, which is to show. Another example, he says, that's kind of ta'us. Ta'us here, this is a great ta'us. He was muhaddith. He met over 50 sahaba. So he was a great scholar. He was the main teacher of Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, a great tabi'i. So he says, kana ta'us, Imam Ghazali is mentioning him. He says, kana ta'us, la yuhaddis illa bin niyyah. He would not give a lecture or teach people unless he had the correct niyyah. So wa kana yus'al an yuhaddis fala yuhaddis. Sometimes people would ask him to speak and he wouldn't. وَلَا يُسْأَلْ فَيَبْتَدِئْ فَقِيلَ لَهُ. And then sometimes he would start speaking without people asking him to speak. And so people ask him, well, what's this? Well, we ask you to speak, you don't speak, and now sometimes you're speaking. And he would say, أَفَتْحِبُّونَ أَنْ أُحَدِّثَ بِغَيْرِ نِيَةٍ. That, do you want me to speak without intention? Because he used to wait for his intention. Now, another example, which is reading with a higher goal than to criticize, and this is particularly pertinent to our time nowadays, thanks to our postmodern, our indoctrination with postmodern philosophy. We are all literary critics. When we read, we want to deconstruct everything that everyone says. If that's not the case, then we're affected by another trend. Why are you using, spot a weak hadith? Say, oh brother, why are you using weak hadith? You know, that's a popular thing. The only weakness we're concerned about is in hadith. When it comes to, well, what about weakness in our iman? Weakness in our salah? Weakness in our ability to get up for fajr? We're not concerned about those weaknesses. But yeah, we're out to, pick weakness in people's, that brother, that's a weakness, weak hadith. This story is very useful for those people who are afflicted by this problem. Hukiya anna Dawood ibn al-Muhabbar lamma sannafa, this is a great scholar, he wrote a book called Kitab al-Aql, Kitab of the Mind, Kitab of Intelligence. Wajaa Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayhi, he came. فطلبه, he asked him for the book. So he فنظر فيه أحمد صفحا, he skimmed through the book. فرده على, and then he gave it back to him. فقال ما لك, why did you give it back? And he said فيه أسانيد ضعيف. Now Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was a muhaddith, right? So he knew the levels of hadith. So he said that there are some weak narrations in there, some weak chains of narrations in there. فقال له, the scholar then said to him, أنا لم أخرجه على الأسانيد فأنظر فيه بعين الخبر. That I did not write this book from the perspective of a critique of asanid, of reports. I did not do that for to weigh. This was not a critical analysis of hadith. This was not about that. إنما نظرت فيه بعين العمل فانتفعت. That I looked, my purpose of writing this, the perspective for which I approached this text, was for benefiting myself, was for benefiting people and myself. Having heard that, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal did not say, okay, well, you know, you have weak hadith, so it had weak hadith anyway, so I don't want anything to do with that. He didn't say that. What did he do? He said, give me the book again. فَرَدَّهُ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى أَنْظُرَ فِيهِ بِالْعَيْنِ الَّتِي نَظَرْتِ. Give me the book again so that I can look at it from the perspective from which you have approached it, from which you wrote it. And then he did. فَأَخَذَهُ. Imam Ahmad takes the book. فَأَخَذَهُ وَمَكَثَ عِنْدَهُ طَوِيلًا. Then he kept it a long time studying the book. ثُمَّ قَالَ. And then at the end he says, جَزَاكُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. May Allah reward you. جَزَاكُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. May Allah reward you. فَقَدْ إِنْتَفَعْتُ بِهِ. That I have benefited tremendously from it. Yes. So this is an approach. The example is that we have to be careful about not dismissing large chunks of our deen because of these simplistic critiques that we have learnt. If we are looking to critique, then critique, or then you should be critical about your own deen, critical about your own self. Looking at where am I? Where's the weakness in my iman? Where's the weakness in my practice? Where's the weakness in my ability to get up for fajr? Where's the weakness in my ability for qiyam at night, for reading Quran, for spending time with Quran? Where's my weakness in that? That's the weakness that should obsess me. The scholars know about the variations of different types of weak hadith and strong hadith. So, anyway, we've run out of time today. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. But inshallah, this is an important chapter. Where Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi goes on to talk about the battle with Shaitan and how things are managed, and also how one should not overwhelm themselves. You should pace yourself, because if you go doing too much all in one go, you can end up burning out. So that's a modern term, but that's precisely what he means by it. Anyway, so yeah, jazakumullah khair. We should pray now, make dua. Allahumma anta rabbuna la ilaha illa ant khalaqtana ونحن عبادك ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا ونبوء لك بذنوبنا فاغفر لنا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا يا ربي يا كريم يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون بها علينا مصائب الدنيا، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا، ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحييتنا، واجعله الوارث منا يا ربي يا كريم، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا يا ربي يا كريم. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك إنك أنت الوهاب. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين آمين يا رب العالمين. صلى الله عليه وسلم.
JazakAllah khairan everyone. JazakAllah khair.
Very very clear.
Thank you. Yeah, for everyone saying that was very beneficial for all of us. Maghrib is inshallah in about 20 minutes, 15-20 minutes. So if you need to go, please do.
JazakAllah khair.